South Carolina and all the ships at sea. How are you today, Producer Ramona?
I'm good.
Good.
Couple, how are you?
Couple of early thoughts on the show.
Okay.
One, I think Brad Brunell and Clemson are going to have to play more zone defense. I've been thinking about it. Now, I know they're not masters of zone. I know it's not something they spend a lot of time at. But, you know, it's something Krzyzewski did a number of years ago when he had teams that couldn't level off opposing dribblers. He went to zone. Now, he got tutored in zone by Jim Boeheim with his connection with Boeheim in international basketball. Because, look, to be good in zone, you sort of have to be masters of it. You can't just really dabble at it and be good at it. It's a dilemma. You still have blockout responsibilities. You have to work as a unit. And if you don't spend a lot of time at it, you're probably not going to be great at it. And if you don't have great length in a zone, you're not going to be great at challenging shots. And Clemson doesn't have great length either. Sort of the opposite of great length, little length. But having said that, when your two star players and your two best offensive players are both injured, I think you have a problem that you can't really fix. I mean, individual defense has been a bit of a dilemma at times for this team anyway, but when your two best players are both dealing with significant injuries, and by the way, I can tell you this for a fact. I know some of the parents of some of these players are getting upset about some of the things that are being said. And even said to them, they just find it reprehensible. So you might want to think twice about your carte blanche on social media and the things that you're doing and saying, because you are affecting players. You're worried about talent. Maybe you better worry about keeping the talent you have and not alienating the parents. Just a thought, because I know for a fact that's happening. But when your two best players are having some trouble with lateral movement defensively because they're just injured. I mean, let me tell you something. Here's a newsflash for you. If PJ Hall wasn't tough as nails, he 98% of other players would have shut it down by now. He's trying to play through what he has. And I do know the specifics of that injury, and I know it's something that he's been dealing with for a long time. I actually made a little recommendation on it yesterday. We'll see what happens with it. But with a particular kind of insult. But, you know, in terms of when your two best players, your two best scorers are both hurt defensively and already you weren't a great defensive team, well, guess what? You're going to have some struggles. And I've been thinking about that the last 24 hours and thinking that, look, I know it's really not what Brad wants to do, but I think he may have to dabble with more zone, try and protect them a little bit defensively. You're concerned about one-on-one matchups and guys shooting over you, etc. You know, maybe mixing some zone. Now, I acknowledge that Clemson's faced some good shooting teams recently in Notre Dame and Syracuse, but let's remember, Clemson was a really good shooting team, one of the best in the country, going into the Notre Dame game. And what happened in the Notre Dame game? First possession, Notre Dame's in man. Clemson scores easily. They don't play man again. They go right to the zone, and Clemson struggled against it all night. Struggled against it. So I think that maybe that's what you're going to have to do moving forward. So it's a thought that I've had the last 24 hours. I know it's not in Brad Brunell's nature, but I think you may have to do more of it just to protect your injured players and to protect your defense as a whole right now. So we'll see whether we get more of that moving forward. Here's another thought, Ramona.
Yes.
It's never good when one of your best young linebackers on a playoff team decides to get arrested the week of the divisional round game.
No.
And, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs have a lot of this kind of stuff, you know.
No.
It starts with, you know, Andy Reid's son and has branched out for years. Kansas City seems to have an abnormally high number of issues related to arrests. Yes, and this particular player, Willie Gay, had some issues in college as well, which is why he slipped in the draft despite his incredible athleticism. Willie Gay, you know, Ramona, I can give you 3 guesses on this one. I can give you 100 guesses. You will never get why Willie Gay was arrested. I first should tell you, this does not sound funny on the surface, and really it's not, but he was arrested over a domestic charge.
Uh-oh.
But wait till you hear.
And it's nothing like comes to mind, like girlfriend, beating his girlfriend,
such. No, Willie didn't take it out on the girlfriend exactly.
Oh, who'd he take it out on? The dog or something?
Her vacuum cleaner.
What?
Willie Gay is...
got arrested for beating up his vacuum cleaner?
By the accounts I read today, Willie Gay is still in jail waiting a court appearance later today on charges he beat up a vacuum cleaner.
He must have been... I mean, it must have been really scary.
Yeah. I'm not making light of the fact
that there was
a threat involved.
Yeah.
And clearly the woman involved felt threatened. And I guess it went beyond, the Kansas City report said vacuum cleaner, but it went a little beyond that. There was also a door frame.
Yeah, he must have went crazy.
Yeah, and some other things. He apparently rearranged the furnishings.
Wow.
Yeah. The week of the divisional championship game. And by the way, he's made a big difference since he returned. They have 2 talented young linebackers. And Willie Gay is a phenomenal athlete. And that was on display as he typhooned his way around the facility breaking vacuum cleaners and such.
Never break anything because 2 reasons. 1, you got to clean it up.
Yeah.
And 2, whatever you broke, it's either something that you can't replace or you got to go replace it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if you hit a wall, you have to fix the hole.
Yeah. I've done that.
Hit a wall? Did you have to fix the hole?
Oh, yeah. You always have to do that kind of stuff later.
But it's better than hitting whoever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's
there. Yeah. So. Yeah. The vacuum cleaner.
I will say that.
Yes.
Thank you for not hitting whoever was standing there.
Right. He gets some credit for taking out his whatever his issue
on the vacuum cleaner. Yeah. Yes.
But nonetheless, with a game coming up, a key game coming up against Buffalo, he managed to get himself arrested, which is not what you want to do. You would think you would have enough self-control to know, you know what? I play Buffalo this weekend.
I'm gonna go in the other room.
Right. I'm going to leave for a while.
We have a tendency to fight. I'm going to go in the other.
Right, go punch
some
trees.
Stay at a hotel.
Go punch some trees.
Till we get through the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, go break your hand punching trees. But by all means, do not get yourself arrested.
You can't break your hand either.
Right. Do not be in jail. Well, they can tape that up. Do not be in jail. The week of the championship game.
Especially if you're key.
Right. And then the Chiefs haven't announced anything yet because to this point, all he's been charged with is a misdemeanor, which of course means, you know, he'll be playing when the weekend rolls around. I would think. Unless something else goes wrong. You know, there's always the chance that in front of the judge today, he punches something else.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, according to the reports he has spent the night and day physically in jail. So as the Chiefs prepare for the big game against Buffalo, you'll have to take Willie Gay. You know, hopefully Willie Gay has his iPad.
Has what?
Has his iPad, because you're going to have to send him the information because he is in the jail cell as the game approaches.
Yeah. Maybe they just are going to put him in there until he calms down.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I guess
I'm sure
that would be it.
I'm
but
sure
again,
he
has a court date today. He has a court date today. So we'll see.
The judge is going, I don't care who you
that's
are.
That's right. Right.
You're an idiot.
So now listen to this.
What?
Who's the last couple of years in college football, who's the singular most significant missing person missing in action? And I think the answer would have to be Eric Gilbert. Eric Gilbert, the All-American high school tight end, who was the number one tight end in the class. I may have even been the number one player, but Eric Gilbert was a five-star, 6'5", 6'6", 260-pound tight end who could really run coming out of high school. I watched the film on Eric Gilbert. This guy should be the greatest tight end of all time. Instead, he has been nothing. He went to LSU. You know, he didn't play every down, but he showed flashes of that talent. There still seemed to be some sort of disconnect there. And at the end of the year with LSU, Eric Gilbert decided he would go elsewhere. So the question is, where would Eric Gilbert go? Well, he went to Georgia, and you thought, okay. So now he's out of that LSU thing. Things are going to be straight. Eric Gilbert's going to be a big-time player for Georgia. And then we learned that Eric Gilbert wanted to play wide receiver at 6'6", 260. Now, allegedly, he lost 30 pounds and he was going to play wide receiver. I have no idea, and no Georgia fan apparently can tell me, what became of Eric Gilbert last year. Now, they had Bowers, they had Washington, you know, they had Fitzpatrick, they had other guys, right? But no one could really tell me what became of Eric Gilbert. And so Eric Gilbert, the number one tight end coming out of high school, five-star guy, loved by everybody, coveted by everybody, wanted by everybody, went to LSU. That didn't work, so he went to Georgia. And that worked even worse. That didn't work at all. He never played. He was nowhere to be found. And the reason I bring it up now, Ramona, is I have Georgia fans calling me at my home telling me that, oh, Eric Gilbert is returning next year. Returning?
Where's he been?
Right. Exactly. Returning. What'd he do? Sleep on the entire national championship thing? He ripped Van Winkle. He ripped Van Winkle. He hadn't won a national championship in 40 friggin' years, and Eric Gilbert ripped Van Winkle the whole season? But now he's, wink, wink, coming back next year? According to who? Him?
JT Daniels.
According to JT Daniels. That's a thing of beauty. According to JT Daniels, yes, who's also gone. So I don't get it, Georgia fans. I need some information. Where are you getting the Eric Gilbert is coming back next year thing? But beyond that, where has he been? What has he been doing this whole season? I don't get it. Working on his art degree? What's he been doing? The whole year that you were, you know, off winning that national championship thing? What exactly was Eric Gilbert doing? And because I think that's sort of vital information to know whether there's any credence or legs to this notion that he's coming back next year. Why would you believe that he's coming back next year? He didn't play at LSU. He had issues with those people. Then he comes to Georgia and he has issues with Georgia. But now, miraculously, he's coming back next year, and he's going to fill your wide receiver void? Have you checked with him? I mean, do you know where he is? Where do you go to speak to him? You got a bat line that runs right to Eric Gilbert? You have one of those red phones, do you? Yeah. I mean, you have an Eric Gilbert hotline that allows you to speak directly to him? Where has dude been? Seriously, if he's coming back, tell me where he's been. And tell me why you would trust in Eric Gilbert to return to college football. Because right now, to me, as Larry Bird once said to the Detroit Piston fans when he left the court after Detroit had won and forced a game six in Boston, and had Boston lost game six, it would have reverted back to Detroit. And as Bird left the court, Pistons fans were yelling, "We'll see you back here, you know, Sunday," or whatever it was. And Bird turned to him and said, "You got a better chance of seeing God." Well, you got a better chance of seeing God, I think. I don't know. Good luck with that plan. Regardless, Walt Tip to the Road Rage. We'll take a quick break and we'll be.
And now, a Best Fiends affirmation.
The most popular person at the office is only on level 30 of Best Fiends, but you're on level 2374. And suddenly, good old Becky doesn't seem so cool anymore.
Best Fiends is the 5-star rated puzzle game with over 7,000 challenging levels of brain-boosting play. Download free from the App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends.
Play Best Fiends. Download free.
I'm a donut nut. I'm a donut nut. I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donuts in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 7 days a week. Pick up some delicious donuts and a cup of coffee. Share a box or two at your business meeting, at church, or with family and friends during a time of need. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kremes.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
I'm Peg. I'm a senior trust officer, but also a gardener and listener.
At Park National Bank, we're more than our job titles, and you're more than an account number. You get personal attention and direct access to a caring, compassionate banker who respects and responds to your needs and goals. Find Peg or a banker near you at parknationalbank.com. Park National Bank, where you mean more. Investments are not FDIC insured, not bank guaranteed, and may lose value. Parknationalbank.com.
Granger Nissan of Anderson is not only home of the lifetime warranty, but the winner of the Nissan Award of Excellence for 3 years in a row. Granger Nissan is here to serve the upstate with excellent service and competitive pricing. With the largest selections of Nissans in the upstate, Granger Nissan is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Granger Nissan of Anderson at 3510 Clemson Boulevard, only 25 miles from Greenville, and always online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
We've all heard the expression, practice makes perfect. But at Kumon Learning Centers, we believe practice makes possibilities. Imagine what your child could achieve with math and reading mastery at an early age. No one achieves greatness by accident. They practice. Right now, enjoy free registration and save up to $50 at Kumon, where practice makes possibilities. Call 1-800-ABC-MATH to book an orientation today.
This Saturday, the Clemson Tigers return home to the friendly confines of Little John Coliseum as they play host to the Pitt Panthers. As we enter the midpoint of ACC play, the Tigers look to create some momentum into the next stretch of play with a win. Broadcast begins 30 minutes prior to tip. Catch it all right here on the Clemson Athletic Network.
Right here on The Roar, 105.5 and 97.5, where every day is game day.
Did you know men's testosterone has been declining around 1% per year, meaning a man today has around 34% less testosterone than a man in the 1980s? How do we make men great again? It's time to boost your testosterone with EC Sports Bulgarian Tribulus, an all-natural testosterone booster with proven ingredients to help increase stamina, libido, and strength. Boost your testosterone with EC Sports Bulgarian Tribulus with Optimus. Go to UpstateMuscle.com, that's UpstateMuscle.com, and use code BEN for 20% off.
Your sports, your hosts, your station.
Second touchdown of the night. Got a little crease in between the tackles. Boy, does this kid look good.
105.5, 97.5. We're the Roar, baby.
This is
golf trip to the Red Raids will Boston, Texas. I don't think Gay has anything to worry about if the same DA is still here that handled the Hill arrest. There might be something to that. I got people saying, you know, I have honestly forgotten all about Eric Gilbert until I mentioned me. I got a bunch of people. And Bulldog Aaron says, why worry about Eric Gilbert when we have Brock Bowers, less drama, loads of talent and production? Well, yeah, but I mean, you can have more than one talented player, Aaron. And Gilbert is certainly a talent. Now, some Georgia fan called off air and said apparently he has mental health issues. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. But if that's the case, then we certainly wish him well. But, you know, apparently that same texter said he's living on campus with his mom. I don't know whether any of that is right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I just don't know that it's right. The Georgia fans who called my house yesterday didn't indicate any of that. They were just excited that he was going to be back playing next year. But if he has these other issues, maybe he needs to tend to that and not worry about football. I'm not sure. But I don't think that you can count on Eric Gilbert being part of your team this coming season. I'm not sure how, when he hasn't really been a part of two teams previously. And another texter reminded me that he actually committed to Florida first. I forgot about that. That's true too. So yeah, all that. But yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs seem to have more than their share of problems with on the Willie Gay front. They seem to have more than their share of problems. By the way, Ramona, yesterday, do you remember when I said something about if I ever take a Benadryl to sleep at night?
Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
But I said if I do, I have these insane dreams.
Yeah.
Anytime I do. Gator Neal wrote me back something about how somehow, I can't even remember what he said. Neil, send me that tweet again. It's probably too far back for me to go and find. But it had something to do with hallucinogenic effects of that product that's utilized by some people in some fashion or another. Like they grind them up or who knows?
No way.
You know, maybe
they're going to have everything that you ever want to cure a cold is going to be behind the counter.
Maybe they snort Benadryl. Who knows?
You're going to have to go to the pharmacist for everything pretty soon.
Oh, you know, that reminds me of something else too that I wanted to get to. And, you know, it's sort of an interesting situation on a particular assistant coach in the NFL, but I'll get to that. I'll get to that a little bit later. I heard Michael Irvin talking about, I don't know if it's Bleacher Report or he was being interviewed by somebody. It might have been the Bleacher Report. He was talking about the ACC and what Miami needs to do. And he said, well, the first thing is Miami has to take over the ACC again. Michael Irvin is making plans for Miami to take over the ACC again. Well, you know, here's the thing. The first thing is, Michael, you've never had control of the ACC, okay? That was pre-ACC. So it's not again. It would be a first time. Miami, you've never controlled squat in the ACC. That's the problem. The ACC thought they were getting diamonds when they got you, and they got coal. I don't mean you personally. I mean Miami. Miami's never done any stinking thing in this league. Miami was brought here to enhance the football product, and they have never done a stinking thing. So, it's not taking over the ACC again. You'd be taking over the ACC for the first time. He was disappointed in the Cowboys, by the way, too, because he said, and he was 100% right about this. This is the part he was 100% right about. You know, he said the stars didn't show up. He said, how can you win a game when your $100 million players don't show up? Then he added 14 penalties. You can't win a game with 14 penalties either. But he said, how can you win a game when your $100 million players don't show up? Now, it's clear to me that he's a little bitter about the new age salary structure over what he got when he was playing with Aikman and Emmitt Smith. But he was 100% right in that assertion. You don't think about it, but it goes back to Len's call at the end of yesterday with the Cowboys. We are going to talk more NFL today. It goes back to Len's call with the Cowboys yesterday. It's that if your star players, the guys you're paying all this insane money to, don't show up in the biggest games, how do you win? I mean, Dak sucked. Ezekiel Elliott sucked and has for I don't know how long now. Cooper. I mean, you're getting nothing. Nothing. Zero. You got nothing out of any of those guys. When Michael Irvin, you know, listen, I get sometimes people hear these now sort of old timers who are doing games, commentary, whatever, you know, Aikman talking about, people don't really necessarily like to hear about the way that it was. You know, they don't want to hear your stories of yesteryear necessarily. But Troy Aikman brought it up twice and brought up Michael Irvin's name talking about, you know, these teams failing to attack soft corners with one-on-one coverage and said, look, when I was playing, if I saw a defense playing that way, Michael Irvin would have 10 catches at the half. And he would have. He would have. And now Michael is saying, hey, man, your stars have to show up. And he's 100% right. Look, when Dallas was in their heyday, I mean the Jimmy Johnson heyday, Barry Switzer, that version, not the Landry version, the more recent versions, when they were winning Super Bowls and winning all those games, Aikman, Emmett, and Michael all showed up all the time. Those guys played big. They didn't shrink. They played big. They delivered on what they were getting paid at that time. They delivered. Michael's 100% right about this group, and it's really what Len brought up at the end of yesterday. It's correct. You're paying these guys like they're at the exact top of their profession. I mean, Dak Prescott's making a fortune, $40 million a year. Ezekiel Elliott, you're paying out the yin-yang to. And fundamentally, you get a home game in which neither one of these guys does anything. Your offense doesn't produce at all. He's right. You know, you can blame coaches all you want. He basically said that. But he said, you know, your stars have to show up. And they didn't. I don't know. I bumped into that. You know, here's something else. We're sort of in the grab bag section of the show. We're sort of in the grab bag section. We're bouncing around from thing to thing a little bit because there are a lot of little things that I think are of note and of interest. One of them is the Deshaun Watson thing. I found an article from a couple weeks ago that I hadn't seen when it came out, and I haven't seen anybody address or talk about it. There's not been much Deshaun Watson discussion because there's been nothing to discuss. You know, again, remember at the trade deadline last year, you had all these people all over who were reporting like wildfire that Deshaun Watson's trade was imminent. It was going to happen before the deadline. It was a done deal. That was being reported by all these media sources. I kept saying, no, nay, nay, that's not happening. He's not scheduled to be deposed until February 22nd of next year. I didn't see what could come before that. Now, this article that I read that was dated like 2 weeks ago said this, and actually it was like a two-part deal where there was an original article and then there was an update to the article, okay? The original article apparently said that a grand jury would be convened at the end of the year by December, but that never happened, all right? And it seemed to be that both sides agreed that a grand jury would be opened. The time frame changed, and it said in January. Well, it didn't happen. It hasn't happened in January yet. All right, but nonetheless, both sides seem to expect a grand jury to be convened on this issue. And the way this is going to work then is the bottom line in all of it is going to be this: if the grand jury decides to indict, and Deshaun Watson will have a chance to testify if his attorney, Rusty Hardin, wants him to do so. But It appears that both sides believe the grand jury will be convened on this matter. And then the question will be whether the grand jury decides there's enough evidence to indict. If they don't, the matter could fundamentally, I guess, be over. If they do, then the next step, according to this article and to those who are on the inside of this, would be that Deshaun Watson would wind up on the commissioner's exempt list.
Explain that.
That'll mean that regardless of what else happens, he cannot play football.
Oh, exempt from playing.
Exempt from playing football, okay. Right. That if the grand jury decides to indict, that regardless of what happens moving forward, that until such time as an ultimate decision comes down, that he will not be allowed to play football. So I don't know what the expected time frame would be. There was no reference to that that I saw. I don't know what the expected time frame would be between when a grand jury decides to indict and to when the matter is eventually heard, eventually decided.
Could be 2 or 3 years.
Right, it could be.
Things like that take a long time.
Right, and it would seem that based on this article, and this was, I think it was called League of Justice. I know it sounds like a Marvel cartoon, but I believe that's what it was called. Who is, you know, at the forefront of studying this whole issue. In any case, my interpretation of this, and again, this may be wrong. If you're an attorney and you want to write me and tell me what's going on or call the show, you're welcome to. But again, there was no specific time frame, but it was stated that it was almost a certainty that if the grand jury decides to indict, that Deshaun Watson would automatically go in the commissioner's exempt list. And then if you're right, Ramona, in between the time the grand jury decides to indict and whatever the ultimate decision is like 2 years,
yeah,
then I would think he'd be out of football for 2 more years.
It takes a long time for all that to get resolved, doesn't it? I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I mean, that's what I would think.
You know,
no, again,
I mean,
I'm not.
We talk about charges of people, and then
right.
We don't talk about it for a long time,
right.
And then one day we go, "Oh, they got convicted of." It just, you know, you hear it on the news that they went to trial and
yeah.
They got convicted. It could be 2-3 years.
See, I think that's possible. So, I think the next step in Deshaun Watson's career as to whether he plays anybody. Again, all you ever hear about is you hear the football side of it. You hear the side about, well, you know, Miami needs a quarterback and this guy or that guy loves Deshaun Watson. The Eagles, you know, need a quarterback or whatever.
Well, everybody probably loves Deshaun Watson. He's a great player.
Well, as a player. But
right.
That's the point.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's ignoring the baggage. It's ignoring
right.
the real life issues.
He's in limbo.
Right. They trump everything else. And,
correct.
And as of now, I'm not entirely sure. Again, if this grand jury decides not to indict, then it may be over. At that point, it might be over. You would probably still have some, you know, economic settlement.
Now, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
The grand jury, are they... Does this have to do with the civil stuff also,
well, see,
or is this just criminal part?
I thought that was very convoluted in this article. It's a good question. I thought that was very convoluted in the article. They did not make that clear. They referenced both elements.
They did?
They referenced both elements, and they referenced the fact that there are still 10 alleged criminal charges, but that no action has taken part. Place in that regard yet. But again, that may have something to do with the grand jury indictment. I mean, I would think that sounds criminal in nature.
To me, it does too. And a lot of times, if people don't, like, let's say they decide not to indict, that's usually when the civil stuff
I think that's
comes,
where you are.
Because they go, well,
yeah.
I've got to get something because they deserve to be in jail.
Yeah.
Whatever their thought is.
Yeah, I think that's where you are. It sounds
yeah.
to me like...
And that
like,
could take a long time also.
Right. It sounds to me like this will be in... This grand jury convening would be to study the criminal aspects, the potential criminal aspects of it. And then if they decided not to indict, then Jahan would stay off the commissioner's exempt list, and then you might be in the civil phase
right
at that point, and that might revert back to the February 26th deposition, the February 22nd
right
deposition.
Right.
And that'd be my guess.
And look at how long it took them to get to this point.
Right, right.
And for this part.
And the thing is, see, here's the thing. All the football people, they just are concerned about the football element.
Well, yeah, that's what we usually discuss.
The thing is, what they are missing in all that, like they were missing back at the trade deadline, is you can't speed the friggin' American legal process along.
No, you can't.
It's going at
it's
your
the
own
slowest
pace.
Thing ever,
right, the
it?
American legal process and all those people involved in this matter, they don't give a hoot about whether Deshaun Watson gets to play for Philadelphia or not.
No, that's the last thing on their mind.
Right. It's just it's completely irrelevant to them in that regard. So, you know, I don't know. I bumped into this article this morning, and again, I think that's the rub right now. And I mean, again, maybe it starts to move forward if the grand jury does not indict. Maybe the civil matter starts to move forward. Maybe they find some resolution on it in that regard. So I would think that you're right. That's how it plays out. Hey, listen up, sports bettors. Walt Tiptoole here to tell you about my favorite sports book. That's BetUS. Football's back. It's time to get in on the action. I only endorse one sports book. That's BetUS.com. Why, you ask? And by the way, the NFL playoffs are here. The NFL divisional rounds are here. Live in-game betting. Live. You can bet on anything. Do it. I only endorse one sportsbook. That's BetUS. BetUS has been America's favorite sportsbook for over 25 years. You need a sportsbook with integrity, longevity. You need to know that you're going to get paid. You need a sportsbook that offers everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, all kinds of crazy bets. Call today at 1-800-79-BETUS. That's 1-800-79-BETUS. They'll walk you through setting up an account. Nobody in the industry gives bigger bonuses than BetUS. Join now. Mention WCCP. You can get up to 200% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. I bet at BetUS. So should you. Go now to BetUS.com. Join BetUS.com today. Start betting with America's favorite sportsbook. That's BetUS.com. Enter WCCP. BetUS.com. Where the game begins. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Emanating from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing high-speed fiber to homes and businesses, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Skeptic about septic? Call the experts, the plumbing experts. Did you know your septic tank should be pumped every 3 to 5 years? With our maintenance plan, you don't need to worry. We take care of it. When it comes to septic tanks, prevention through routine maintenance is key. Our plumbers are fully trained, licensed, and qualified to provide the best experience the first time. So whether you need a pump or repair, don't be a skeptic about septic. Call the experts, the plumbing experts. Visit online at theplumbingexperts.com. They won't let you down.
Julie Terry here with Duck Donuts Greenville. 2021 has come and gone, and Greg and I are very thankful for your continued support. We love helping you bring an extra bit of happiness into your day. Our friendly staff is working hard to bring you the most delicious made-to-order donuts. Come in and experience our unlimited variety of flavors, like our number one selling maple bacon donut that starts with a dip in our house-made maple icing and finished off with the savory goodness of real chopped bacon. Come see us at the Plaza on Pelham or order online at duckdonuts.com.
Sleep tight and don't let the bed bugs bite.
That was once just a nursery rhyme, but not so much anymore. Now you can find them just about everywhere, from homes to hotels to even hospitals. At Clark's, we will find the bed bugs and present a plan to eliminate those nightmarish creatures. If you suspect that you have bed bugs, give us a call and set up a free estimate. And don't forget, we have one of the best pest and termite control programs in the business. Call us at 864-233-2847 or visit us at clarkspest.com today.
This is for the men who never settle, the ones who believe only quitters and a game and a tie, the type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
If you're looking for a great set of tires, look no further than Pendleton Tire Company. They're now proud to offer exceptional tires by Yokohama. Remember when your car was new? Well, the Yokohama Avid Ascend LX will give your car that new car feel, quiet and comfortable. Combine that with the exceptional service you'll receive from Pendleton Tire Company, and you've got a winning combination. Call Joey or Zach today at 646-3694 or check them out at PendletonTire.com.
Have you ever noticed that when the afternoon light hits your floors, you can see everything, including dust?
So much dust.
And that floor dust gets kicked up into the air, compromising the quality of air you and your family breathe.
Eesh.
Swiffer Heavy Duty Sweeper is the fast and easy way to clean your floors with ultra-thick pads that trap and lock dust before it gets in the air. Just a couple minutes a day,
and dust is gone.
Swiffer Heavy Duty Sweeper. Proud partner of the American Lung Association.
Rely on the professionals at EnviroMulch for all your outdoor projects. They have the right products to protect your plants and landscaping during the winter months while retaining moisture. This enhances your home and saves you money. Order online at EnviroMulchOnline.com.
Warmer days aren't the only thing ahead. So is the Upstate South Carolina Boat Show. From January 27th through the 30th at the Greenville Convention Center, you and your family can get up close to the latest boat models for fishing, speed, and cruisers, as well as the latest in gear and accessories. If it's on the water, it's here. Only from January 27th through the 30th, and only at the Greenville Convention Center. Bring your kids. Six and younger are free. Find out more at UpstateSCBoatShow.com.
Your home for Clemson women's basketball. 105.5 and 97.5. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
To the road rage, Ramona, wait till I tell you about this transgender Penn swimmer and what's going on with
the transgender Penn swimmer.
Wait till I tell you who the transgender Penn swimmer has compared herself to.
Are you going to tell me now?
No.
Or?
Okay. No. No, I'm going to tell you in a few minutes. Wait till I tell you. Clemson dominates, and Matt, you guys are up first. Clemson dominates. How are you, Clemson dominates?
Hey, Walt, I just wanted to get your take on the Tennessee Bengals playoff game, because I think it's going to be really hard for Derrick Henry after all that time off to just come back and, you know, pick up where he left off. You know, I think he might have a couple good runs, but certainly, I don't know if he's going to be able to dominate like he normally does, and it's going to be really hard after the times that somewhat found a groove on offense to incorporate it back him back in, and then have the offense be fully productive. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, look, I think the point you're getting at is his timing. You know, all those things that have to be going right when, you know, because again, let's not confuse it. This is not a guy who's the greatest runner of all time in his first 10 carries. He's great. He gets better and better as he gets more use. And so it's probably not logical to think he's going to get his 25 carries in this game based on his return. And so you're not going to get Derrick Henry at his most effective from a timing standpoint, from a standpoint of, you know, he's been away this long. So I would tend to agree with that part of it. And, you know, when a star player comes back, sometimes you have to reinvent yourself too, because you've found a different way in his absence and you don't know how that screws you up. There are questions on that.
Also, I found their week 18 performance against the Houston Texans very underwhelming. You know, when they had a must-win situation and they're only able to beat Houston 28-24,
yeah, but
a team they should have really buried by 30 or 40 points.
You know what? they had a big lead in that game, and those games in those situations are always tougher than people think because those teams are not laying down. Just ask the Indianapolis Colts, who didn't go to the playoffs because of Jacksonville.
No, I understand. I saw part of that game in Jacksonville. Jacksonville's defensive line dominated that game. You know, I was pretty shocked by that. But I do also Janoris Jenkins. It looks like he re-aggravated an ankle injury, and I think that that could be a concern because he was going to guard T. Higgins. So the number three DV will be guarding him if that's the case, and then the fourth DV will be on Tyler Boyd. It just makes it that much more difficult missing a top guy like that. And Trey Hendrickson will be back and healthy. So
yeah, well, he cleared concussion protocol. That was this morning, I believe.
Yeah, so there's no concern with that. And I just think Joe Burrow's got something. You know, I mean, if it's going to be down to like head coaching, obviously Mike Vrabel's better than Zach Taylor at this point. But if it gets down to the quarterback, who do I want in the fourth quarter to win a game? I would rather have Joe Burrow.
Well, here's the part I'll agree with you on too, is that, you know, I'm actually hearing a lot of people going against Cincinnati because the young quarterback hasn't been in this situation. I'm hearing a lot of that. Look, I actually think Tennessee's going to win. But I don't think that's going to be why. I think if you're waiting for Burrow to fail because of some misguided notion that he isn't ready for the moment, I don't know what you've been watching all these years. If Tennessee wins, it's not going to be because Burrow just choked because the moment overwhelmed him. This is not a guy who's subject to that. It's pretty clear.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, if they do win, it's not like it'll be the if Cincinnati does win, it's not going to be like the ultimate upset of all time. I mean, it's not like Tennessee's like some juggernaut. They got the first seed, but let's face it, out of all the first seeds we've seen in a while, they're not one that just makes you tremble in fear.
No, I mean, quite obviously not. I mean, it's almost like nobody respects them at all. So, you know, it's like it's a miracle they got the number one seed is how the nation's sort of reacting. So, yeah, no, I think that's definitely true. I mean, if you were to take a poll right now ranking the top AFC teams, no one would vote them higher than third.
No, everybody's saying the Kansas City Buffalo game is really for the Super Bowl berth in AFC. So, and that could be the case ultimately, but it'll still be a very entertaining game to watch, I think.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Kansas City and Cincy's an underrated game. Thanks, Walt.
Thank you, Clemson Dummies. Yeah, look, I agree. Look, I think it'll be a good game. I'm picking Tennessee, as I've said, because I think people are just undervaluing everything about who they are. I think there's a toughness to Tennessee and a readiness that's been built over a number of years now. And I don't think they got this number one seed by accident. And again, people act like they got it by magic or they stole it or something. I don't mean Clemson dominates. I mean the things I'm reading and hearing. You know, I actually heard somebody the other night on SportsMap say, you know, they haven't beaten anybody. You know, they don't really deserve it. Haven't beaten anybody. They beat a who's who of football. No one played a tougher schedule the first eight games. Remember, pull up the Tennessee Titans schedule for me. Because they haven't beaten anybody. But it's funny. I remember them beating Kansas City and Buffalo. The two teams that are better than them, my recollection is Tennessee beat both of them. And those are the two teams that everyone thinks are better than them. And now in many people's minds, they're not even as good as Cincinnati. It's like, how did they get here? And I get they've had injuries. But still, they reinvented themselves and kept winning. Matt, how are you?
Hey, Walt, how you doing, man?
Good, Matt. Appreciate you getting in.
Good to be in. I just want to – I'm not a Cowboys fan at all, but I basically just called you to talk about that Cowboy game from this weekend.
Yeah.
In all my years that I've been watching football, Walt, I've never seen a quarterback scramble with no timeouts, with, you know, the clock running running out like that. Me and my friend, we got in a little bit of a debate. He seems to think that the coach called that play. I don't think the coach called that play. I think that that look downfield, he's seen everybody was covered. And I honestly believe for an instant, Dak forgot about the play clock, and he seen green grass, and he took off running. And by the time he actually slid and got up and, you know, they had time to spot the ball, the game was over. I believe that if he would have remembered, you know, oh, crap, the game's about over, I believe that he could have got down 2 seconds sooner, and that would have been enough time to snap the ball to give him one more shot. But do you believe that the coach called the quarterback draw, or do you believe that Dak in that very moment just forgot about the game?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because it's been discussed as it's been a call. It was a called play, and no one seems to have countered that. All I remember is the original play, and I've not gone back and evaluated for that. I have thought about that. Actually, we'll take a look at that again at some point today.
The only reason I don't think it was a called play is because when he first hooded the ball, the receivers wouldn't block, and they was running routes, and Dak looked up to throw him the ball, but they was nobody open, so he seen green grass and took off running.
Yeah, because
that's what I believe happened.
Yeah, and it may be, but you know, I think you're right about the end of it too. As I suggested yesterday, if he slid 5 yards earlier, you would have had plenty of time. But, you know, generally from a coaching standpoint, the belief on that is it's about 18 seconds. It takes about 18 seconds to run the ball in the middle of the field, get up and run the next play. And they did not have 18 seconds. Now, as it was happening, Romo was arguing with his counterpart that he had time. Romo was saying, "Oh, he has plenty of time. He'll get up and they'll get the playoff." And of course, they did not get the playoff, in part because Dak Prescott handed the ball to the wrong person. He handed it to the center, and the officials got to touch the ball. So that hurt. And maybe it was just the second and a half.
I really wish for San Francisco, I really wish that play would have went a little bit differently, and he would have handed it to the official, and they would have got that last playoff, because I feel like San Francisco dominated the whole game, and they would have won regardless. If they got the last playoff or not, they would have won regardless. And I hear another Cowboy fan saying, "Oh no, we was one play away from winning." No, you wasn't. There's no guarantee that y'all was going to win that game if y'all would have got that last play in.
Yeah, look, I thought the 49ers dominated the game, and then I thought Tiny Jimmy G almost donated it to him at the end, did everything he could to donate the game. But
the same friend that I'm telling you about, I told him, I said, San Francisco will win this game if Jimmy G don't give it away.
Right. And that's their dilemma moving forward. And, you know, and I would imagine that's how they'll meet their demise this week. Look, that coaching staff is very bright. They came up with a brilliant game plan on how to utilize Deebo Samuel and utilize him more as a running back even than a receiver in that game. And it was a great game plan. Now, of course, moving forward, Green Bay has seen that. And so Green Bay will be a little more prepared for that than the Dallas Cowboys were, I would think.
Yeah, just because of Jimmy G is the reason I'm not saying San Francisco, yep. But my Super Bowl prediction is Tennessee, and I'm going to say Buffalo. Tennessee and Buffalo is mine. I mean, not Tennessee and Buffalo. Tennessee and Green Bay is my pick. I think that Buffalo will be in the championship game, but I don't think they're getting by Tennessee. I don't think nobody's getting by Tennessee for what you was talking about when you answered my call. I mean, people was underestimating them, and they really didn't face hard times and hardships until Derrick Henry went out. When he comes back, they're going to be fine, I believe.
Yep. Thank you, Matt. It's a good job. Finally, somebody who loves Tennessee. Ramona, we'll take a look at that when we get back, the Tennessee schedule. Because, this notion that they got there by magic, we'll dispel that. Let me tell you about my guy, David Green. Look, I don't think I met anybody who's had a good experience with the IRS. You're not sure how to deal with the IRS. Maybe you haven't filed several years. You filed, you haven't paid. Who knows? Whatever the issue might be, it's a personal matter. It impacts your well-being. So don't call some 1-800 company and give your personal info to some perfect stranger. Now you have a new problem, ID theft. Hey, listen, call my guy, David Green. Whatever your issue is, you think you're the only one. No, a million other people have had the same issue. They knew who to call. Call my guy, David Green. David's been working with local and national IRS agents for over 20 years. He has great working relationships. He knows all the options available so you can take your life back. Whether they put liens on your property, garnish your wages, waive an audit coming up, David can help you. David understands the average changing tax laws, what the IRS will accept as a compromise, understands the Fresh Start program, who use these programs to your best advantage. Look, the Green Law Firm can't change your past, but they can absolutely change your future. Get the peace of mind and results you're entitled to from the local law firm that's been helping hundreds of folks in the upstate for over 20 years. The professional staff at the Green Law Firm can do it all. Do yourself a big favor. Call the Green Law Firm today for a free strategy session, free, 271-7940, or stop by their office, 11 McGee Street in Greenville, or on the web, greenlaw.legal. Quick break.
5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Granger Nissan of Anderson is not only home of the lifetime warranty, but the winner of the Nissan Award of Excellence for 3 years in a row. Granger Nissan is here to serve the upstate with excellent service and competitive pricing. With the largest selections of Nissans in the upstate, Granger Nissan is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Granger Nissan of Anderson at 3510 Clemson Boulevard, only 25 miles from Greenville, and always online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
It's moving day, and Tiger Moving Company is here to help. Skip the headache. Hire the professionals with the right tools for your move. Their clean-cut and reliable team pack and assemble furniture seamlessly, so all you have to do is make yourself at home. To top this all off, they even start and stop the clock at your house, charging you a flat hourly rate. No rounding up. Call today at 908-9028 or email tigermoving@gmail.com to make your next move with Tiger Moving Company.
In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Manion was killed in Iraq after saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on through the five words he spoke before leaving for his final deployment. If not me, then who? Words that today fuel the spirit of Travis Manion Foundation. Words that live in veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians who go out of their way to find a way, who help others with the help of others, who bounce back after each setback, who make good on good intentions. Through Travis.